Elliot.
Hello.
Someone was in our comment section bitching that they had to skip the first 10 minutes of the podcast because it was not Counter-Strike related.
Yeah, that sounds like us.
Yeah. So I think let's piss them off today again.
Were they bitching, or were they like, was it sort of joking?
I think we should continue this today by talking about other games, because I know you have a new game and I've been playing a new game. I'm going to find the comment while you start, because I think
it's... Yeah, so Hades 2 came out like yesterday as we're recording. And
it came out early access.
Yeah, which...
But it seems polished enough that it could have been late access.
If you release something on early access, as far as I'm concerned, you've already released it. And if you want to talk about... If you want us to talk about Counter-Strike, Counter-Strike 2 is basically an early access, except they removed the old game. So it leads me to playing other games, because Counter-Strike 2 is just still unfinished. Whatever. Yeah, I've been playing... I've played 6 hours of Hades 2 since I bought it, like, yesterday.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's addictive. Between that and Balatro and Pokerogue, I have just no time. It's really sad.
So the comment was, I wish Spotify had chapters like YouTube, which, by the way, it does. If you go look in the description,
they're there. Okay.
Yeah. I skipped the first 10 minutes because it wasn't about CS. And to you, sir.
Yeah, I mean, fine.
We're going to continue to
honestly, talk. Honestly, yeah. Fair enough. Like,
Skip if you want, man. That's on you. I have been playing... Stardew Valley. I've been playing so much Stardew Valley.
Interesting. I've got Stardew Valley.
I only have 2 hours in the last 2 weeks, but like, I think I had like 30 hours the week before. I've been playing an ungodly amount of Stardew Valley with a bunch of friends. But my new obsession is a game called Foundry, which is kind of like Satisfactory. It's like a factory building simulator that you run around and do shit, but it is voxel based, so it's like there's three-dimensional blocks and stuff, which make things a lot more complicated but also less complicated when you're placing like conveyor belts that cross each other and go over themselves and stuff and do some insane shit to do factory automation.
I'll be honest, factory building sims seem impossibly uninteresting to me.
I fucking love them.
It just seems insane to me.
But the last week is just, I can't believe I'm going to say this, I've been grinding Counter-Strike. Beer League starts next week, and I don't want to be the worst player.
So, I haven't, because of my usual 5-stack. One of them's refusing to play while Dust 2 is in the map pool. one of them's in Malta. So, like, of the people I used to grind with, one of them has a job, so, like... It's a lot harder to find time to play with our usual... Like, we had a rotation of, like, 8 or 9 people we'd play with.
And you're down to, like, 4?
Yeah, so...
I don't know. I'm excited. I haven't done it yet. I'm going to try and see if I can bully a bunch of people into it tonight. The Finals released a 5v5 tactical shooter built into the game. I'm interested.
But like, it's supposed to be every tactical shooter that isn't Counter-Strike just makes me wish I was playing Counter-Strike.
Yeah, but I have friends that like playing the Finals and they don't like Counter-Strike. So I'm going to see if we can make this correct.
Yeah, it seems like I just wish I was playing Counter-Strike anytime I'm playing any other tactic shooter.
So by the way,
that's a lie. I wish I was playing CS:GO anytime I was playing any tactic shooter.
I have Balatro downloaded. I have played N minute. I have loaded up to the loading screen and then gotten distracted by other shit. I'm ready to do it. I just haven't done it yet.
You will destroy your free time. That game is so fun.
So update from me editing this episode. I definitely didn't just play Balatro for like 2 hours procrastinating in this episode.
Speaking of destroying our free time, we spend a lot of time thinking about the ninjas in pajamas.
I would say I spend very little time, and the little time I spend on it is already far too much.
Well, by a lot of time, I mean we in this podcast spend a lot of time talking about ninjas in pajamas.
Yes. That's all of my thinking about it. Like, I spend no other hours.
Yeah, no, we don't think about any externally of this.
I try and ignore all of their games. It's one of those.
So with that, NIP have finally completed their rebuild.
Yeah. Remember, at the start of 2025, they're going to be competing for championships, according to them. Just think that's worth throwing out there before we get into what the move is.
Yeah, so let me remind you how this team started. They have Alex, former Movistar rider. They have Rez, former Ninja in Pajama.
Former player.
They've got Maxter, former
Academy
player for Young NIP. Ninjas. They've got Wrinkle, former B8 Opper.
Yeah.
And they've added as their final player, Isaac.
Yeah.
From Gamer Legion.
It's like, it's fine. This team is fine.
I was going to say, this team just feels like mid.
It's better than the config S attack team.
I think five stack of NA players that have never played together may be better than that.
I've played teams on Faceit who are better than the config S attack team.
Yeah, I think the bar's real. So, bar's real real, man. Real low.
Yeah. So like, yeah, this team is a lot better than the old NIP. They've said that by 2025 they want to be competing for championships. Does this team scream championship quality to you?
No.
In a world where a team with Monacy and Nico on it is struggling to get to playoffs, this team's going to win events.
So here's the thing, right? I am concerned where any rifle kill is coming from.
I mean, Maxter and Isaac are decent.
Yeah.
I think. I've only seen Maxter play like once or twice.
This goes back to the snappy discussion that we had like a week or two ago about Falcons. Of like, where is the star? You can't star by committee. It's not a thing.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. So who's going to play the second man and who is playing the star role?
Well, I think it's Rez, but I don't know.
But if it's Rez... I think
Maxter is the most aggro of the five from what I remember. Alex will be a sort... I mean, Alex is sort of... He's kind of star-ish as an in-game leader.
But just because you have star-ish players doesn't mean you actually have a star.
I mean, I will say Na'Vi won the major with JL as their star.
Yeah, but... They also had Wonderful playing out of his fucking mind.
Yeah, well, that does happen.
There was some other stuff going on.
There's also
a
world where, like, Wrinkle is really good.
Yeah, no, like, I know where the op kills are coming from. I am in on Wrinkle. I like Wrinkle. I have no problems with Wrinkle. But I have questions about the Swedish contingent of this team.
Well, yeah, I mean, the problem is there's, like, two good players in Sweden. NIP only have one of them.
Which one?
Isaac, I think Isaac's pretty good. From what I remember of watching Gamer Legion, he was always like the second. No matter who was the best player in any individual game, he was like always the second best player in any game they were in, which is a really good. Like, from what I remember, he was very consistent, mechanically solid enough, didn't make many mistakes, which is pretty good for a team like this. And they are going in on Maxter and Rez as a sort of duo that can compete. I have my doubts. I haven't seen enough of Maxter to be certain whether or not he's actually very good or if he's just kind of fine. But he's got to be better than Config. Rez, I'm not particularly high on Rez. I never really have been. I think he's... I just don't think he's very good, to be honest. Like, he has occasional... events where he's decent, but I don't see it very often with Rez. I don't see what everyone else seems to see with him. I don't think there's a star in there waiting to be unleashed. I think there's a mediocre player who's occasionally decent.
So in more Swedish Counter-Strike news, Metasport have announced that SUSP is leaving Metasport. Now, you may not know who SUSP is. You may barely know who Metasport is. That's not the reason we're talking about this. We're talking about because who they may sign. We had seen online and we couldn't find it. And then you found it from Harumi. So.
He's tweeted out that they're signing Plopsky.
Who subbed for them last month.
On Telegram, I think he's put they're signing Nork and Plopsky, getting rid of Jequinho and SUSP. The weird bit about this is that SUSP, for the most part, is considered one of their best players. Mm-hmm. So they're signing Plopsky to replace one of their stars, which, like, we already know how that goes.
I mean, this team was good last time we saw them in a real tournament, which was like, I can't even remember where it was.
They were at the one in Saudi because they beat Falcons.
Ah, okay.
Excellent. Esports World Cup? No. Gamers 8.
Yes. I'm doing a lot of scrolling. I forgot Europe plays about 7 trillion matches a week in their events. No, the interesting thing here, right, is that is the Nox signing. We had talked last week that whole Apex team being transfer listed and stuff, and we said out of the people there, right, basically everyone can go to a good team, but the two people that you look at and go, damn, those two people should be picked up instantly, were Jacob and Nock.
Yeah, I'm surprised Nock is, if he does, is going to Metasport. I know they're like on the rise, but I just feel like he could probably do better. But
he may want to play in a full Swedish team. It's not like there's any of those left anymore.
And he's not going to go to NIP because he doesn't like them. So.
No,
NIP would be quite annoyed. Like, unless there's something we're missing from the outside with Sus, but they must be a little bit annoyed that they spent like 3 months building their team, and then as soon as they build it, it's like, oh yeah, we're benching our best Swedish player. Come on, man.
It just replace him for Rez.
Yeah. I mean, I think Rez still has like quite a lot of time left on his contract. He's probably won't replace him.
Okay, and then the last roster thing we're talking about, and we got a story that we got Pro League, is G2 attending Dallas, which is at the end of this month in May. Hooksie will be missing Dallas because of a personal scheduling conflict. Don't know what it is, but who cares?
Some time away from listening to Nico.
Honestly. So the fun part isn't that. The fun part is the replacement.
This is so insane.
Stewie2K has recently been on Legacy to fill Colzera's shoes for all of 6 minutes, okay? And now he's going to play with G2 at Dallas. And I'm here for it. Because if there's something this team...
He's being replaced on Legacy, I think. With some
yeah, he is. No, he's not playing on Legacy anywhere. He's being replaced by Sadzin.
That's it. Like, this move is... It's so weird to me that Stewie2K and Monacy's careers are going to intercept.
There's reasoning behind this. First of all, they needed someone in NA who hasn't qualified or hasn't tried to qualify.
Yeah,
that leaves you with very few
that
people.
Doesn't leave you with any good players.
No one. Are you going to pull Tarek out of retirement?
Like, they pulled Stewie out of retirement.
They brought Stewie basically out of retirement. Honestly, I would have, for the memes, if you know you're missing Hooksy anyway. Oh, shit. No, I would have brought Flamin. I would have had him stream the whole event. And
no, you can't have Flamin. No, you want, like, Hooksy, for all of the things he does well, isn't a particularly good fragger. He's, you know.
Yeah.
He's actually better recently than I think people are getting. Bring in Ocean or Shake Zula.
Shake Zula. That's what Shake I was thinking. Zula. Bro, bring Shake in. Have Shake IGL Nico. I need it.
Can you imagine how little Nico would respect Shake Zula already?
Wait, so who's... Is Nexa going to be IGLing then?
Nico, probably. Anyway, it might be Stewie. He's in game.
Stewie IGLing Nico, Hunter, and Monacy is the best scenario, I think.
It's so weird to me that Stewie2K and Monacy's careers have intercepted. Because in my head, they're from completely different eras of Counter-Strike.
I mean, they are.
Well, yeah, but like, Stewie, remember that Stewie beat Nico in a major final, and actually their careers are not that far apart at all.
Yeah, and I'm gonna remind everyone just for a second.
Stewie2K on G2? Stewie, insane.
Stewie most recently played for Evil Geniuses. I just need to remind everyone that there was a lineup for a while that EG had with Stewie in it. Like, recently.
And it went as well as you'd expect.
It was terrible.
Yeah. That's right.
It was fucking atrocious. It was Stewie, Cirque, Breezy, Automatic, and Rush. And it was so bad.
Yeah. I understand that options are limited and there's not really Like, he probably is the best person you can get, but it's still so weird. It's
due well, to I feel like you could too. Sign a Canadian for a minute.
You could, but who? Exactly.
Shit.
Like, anyone who's half Yo, decent has tried to qualify.
We can bring Oboe back.
Sure. Sure.
Well, but the not? Thing is like, go to any ECL team that didn't qualify and ask to borrow a player. I don't.
Well, that's what they've done, basically.
That's basically what they've done.
At
but
least
like,
2K's ceiling is high. Like,
what if we? What is the consequence if Stewie goes to this event? We see him with a top tier team, and we see him fucking frags
what
out. What is the consequence
Did
of that?
Sign him?
Oh God, no!
Genuinely, if G2 makes semifinals at this event, and Stewie 2K drops like a 1.05 and in game leads and to like some good results, do they sign him?
Right now, I would. You signed Stewie to like the equivalent of like the veteran minimum contract that you have in the NBA. Yeah. Send him to like the shortest possible contract, and it's a day by day thing. Like you have to re-sign him every fucking
just give
day.
Him 6 months until they can finally sell Nico, and then we'll see what happens. Like it is so sad. Monacy is at his absolute peak right now. Monacy is probably if not the best player in the world. He's second behind Dog, but he's probably the best player in the world. And he's not winning anything. And they're wasting his peak with Hunter completely out of form. Nico, who's not quite as good on CS2 as he was on CSGO. And now Stewie2K. You can argue Hooksie and Nexo also waste of this form as well. But, you know, whatever. Like,
this is my favorite
already
time,
wasting like. His peak. And they're wasting it more by... Like, they're playing an event with Stewie2K.
This is my favorite timeline. This is like it's the so best timeline weird. Possible.
Like, I genuinely, when I saw the headline that they might be signing Stewie2K, I checked the date. But no, it's actually not April. I really thought it was an April Fool's joke.
You had to check the year too, man. Like, because well, Stewie to G2 when he was on MIBR wouldn't have been the most insane thing in my head.
It still would have been pretty insane, but yeah, far less insane than it is.
Okay.
Stewie2K.
One more bit before we go talk about Pro League. Did you read the Thorin Stubstack article about five teams that would improve if they signed BlameF?
I didn't. I saw some of the suggestions.
Okay, I'd like to quickly go through the suggestions to determine whether they are valid or not. This is not a... I want to say that the next bit is not a hate segment on Thorin or any amount of this. I just legitimately would like to discuss the BlameF of it all.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I rate BlameF much lower than he does. So
that's true. But I would like to discuss the BlameF of it all, because some of these I have questions about. BlameF to G2 Esports.
I mean, for whom?
I'd assume Hooksie. It actually says Nexa. Nexa, Hunter are the
look,
two people
Blame
there.
BlameF for Nexa is obviously a massive firepower upgrade. BlameF for one of your stars on form is probably okay, but
I feel like
if BlameF's ever going to be like a person who can win events is going to be with somebody like Monacy, who's just going to win him rounds on his own where he doesn't have the impact.
Yeah.
He can actually be a bit more passive.
I was just going to kind of say the opposite to a degree,
okay.
Which isn't weird, which is the Golden State Warriors in 2016, one of the best basketball teams ever. I've used this analogy a lot recently, not... Yeah, the Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and like JaVale McGee or Zaza Pachulia.
We love JaVale McGee.
Okay. But the point is you have Steph Curry, who is this on-ball player, and Kevin Durant, who's an on-ball player, and they both kind of need the ball to function.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson, who is an off-ball player, who doesn't need the ball to function. He's just going to sit in a corner. You feed him the ball. He spots up. He shoots. Draymond Green, who famously... does not want to touch
he
a ball
want
ever.
The ball at all, yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
And insert random Warrior center here, who doesn't care about the ball either. It's just right. But like, or Andre Iguodala, right, who they played with in that run too, like doesn't need the ball. So you can only have on a Counter-Strike team a certain amount of on ball players.
Yeah.
You can't have a team of five Nikos. It doesn't work. That's just how, like, this it's not a thing. So in my head, if you add Blame F to G2, regardless if you take away Nexa or if you take away Hunter, I feel like you're adding too many on-ball players.
Yeah, I think if you remove Hunter...
I think if you remove Hunter, it's a separate matter.
It's okay. Because, I mean, it's still a little bit Kyrie, Luka plus one, but you can have Kyrie and Luka and it's still fine.
Yeah, you can have two on-ball players. Yeah. But once you add a third, now no one gets the ball.
Yeah, that is true. There is an element of that to it. But I also, at this point, there's very few players you could remove on G2 for like an equivalent player and they get worse. So there's very few. Like, if you swapped Hunter for Blame F, I don't hate it as much. If you swapped Nico for Blame F, maybe. I feel like Nexa for Blame F, I mean, it might work. Hooksy, like, is just a dog on that team. Like, he is very much like, you are being baited by everyone. You are, whoever wants you to stand in a corner and die for them, that's your job now. Like, and it might work. I think Hooksy could probably make that team work, as much as I think Blame F is ineffectual.
So the next team on the list is Complexity. I see it. I understand it. Okay. But I don't know about this. Look, who do you take out of Complexity?
It would be Floppy, I think. Floppy was a very, very good late round player. I feel like he's not as good on CS2 or even at the end of CSGO as he was. But then again, I suppose like he's not actually a star on this team at all.
He's not supposed to be.
No. But then so the way Blame F plays isn't always as a star. Like he's a weird player. I think it would probably help Complexity to have a, I don't know. So I'm thinking like, oh, like a genuine, reliable star, and then I just remember they have a Liege. Like they already have that.
I could go either way on this one.
Complexity are one of the teams who I think are more powered by vibes than the others.
Yeah.
And I think they'd be introducing a non-American that isn't.
Or South African or Halzer.
Yeah. I mean, JT's been in the like NA team for so long. Like culturally, he's probably quite American. Halzer is obviously culturally quite American. He looks like he goes fishing shirtless.
He got rid of the mullet.
It doesn't matter. He's still so like unequivocally American. Like, if you went for a drink, I think I put this in the magazine. If you went for a drink with him, it would be him sat by a pond fishing, drinking beers out of a cool tub, like just cans of beer. He'd crack it in half and drink it through the middle, and then he'd take his shirt off, and you would like that. That would be
it.
Like,
on it.
He's that's, so that's American. Just, yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's so American. Blame F isn't. I think vibes wise, it's probably a downgrade, but it's. He is obviously better than some of those players.
Yeah. Ents.
I mean, they need to do something about the Diha problem.
They need to do something, but I'm not sure that Blame F is the answer.
Blame F Glaive seems like a bad mix. Seems like
oil and water. That's happened. We've had this before.
Yeah. And it was a bit oil and water then.
Yeah. And I don't see how replacing with Polish group instead of a Danish group helps that at all.
Yeah. Ents need to do something. I think they signed this team because it was the cheapest team they could get on with a EPL spot. I don't think they signed this team because they thought it was really good. And I think come January, they'll have a very different looking roster. It might include Blame F.
We'll see.
I don't think Glaive and Blame F work particularly well together.
So the next team, so there's like little bits to describe the team. So the Ents will just pivot from parlay to powerless. A complexity, a two-man show with room for a foreign star. I feel the need to read this for the next team, which is OG Esports. Yeah. Talent prison.
Yeah. Like, no matter what I think of Blame F, no matter what anyone else thinks of Blame F, he'd comfortably be the best player on OG.
Yeah.
And Heavy God is pretty good. I genuinely can't remember who the other players OG are.
I think Fiku's still there.
Yeah, he's the
Is Neo Fret? No, Keto's there.
Yeah.
Keto's exactly. Definitely there. It's a team of support.
I quite like Keto. Like, there's something about him, I just like him. He's really aggressive. He's like clearly mechanically quite good. But he's just not great. And like Blame F clearly just improves OG, but there's no way it makes sense for anyone. Like, this OG team was clearly made on a budget, and I don't think Blame F's
I don't think he will be a budget player.
Notoriously quite expensive, I think.
Yeah. The last team, is Fnatic, which I think is the most interesting one of all of them.
There's something about him where he feels like a Fnatic player. I can't describe that. And that sounds like an insult at the moment. But like that when you like Fnatic and CSGO, like obviously were dominant for years, and it was like aggressive, arrogant, sort of got a bit of hubris about it.
I mean,
I kind of just get that off Blame F. Like,
I mean, there's a reminder that Flush and JW used to play for this team. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like he could fit that mold. He's not like current Fnatic are bad, but they're like at some point they're going to be like, well, we need to build a genuinely good team, or we need to leave the game. So I could see like that one I can see, and it makes sense in my head for him to go to Fnatic. But like, I think it would be they would sign him and then ask him who he wants to play with.
Yeah, which we've seen work very well previously.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's
I'll assume
jump.
You're not being sarcastic, and we'll move on.
And well, think what?
I don't know if you're being sarcastic.
I'm being sarcastic. I am being sarcastic.
You said it completely deadpan.
Why would I not say it deadpan? It's the best way to say things with no emotion.
It creates this awkward interaction in the middle of a podcast.
No, this is great. This is excellent. This is what people come for.
this and talking about other games. Yeah.
This is and talking about or playing other games. All right, ESL Pro League Season 19 has been going on. It's the first one of 2024. It's the group stage of events. We're in the playoffs. So the playoffs of the group stage. So the elimination matches?
Yeah, we're in the playoffs. All right.
Let me read out. We'll go tier by tier. Basically, there's four lines, and whoever gets through that line makes it to semis. So the first line, Big, G2, 3D Max, and Mouz. G2 beat Big to, I don't think, literally anyone's surprise.
I think the surprising bit was that Big were 12-4 up on map one and managed to lose it.
I'll be honest, I didn't watch this game.
I'm pretty sure it was 12-4.
But that tracks.
Yeah, Maui Snake was going.
So G2 are currently playing 3D Max. The winner will go play against Mouz. It's 1-1. They're on map 3. I foresee a G2 Mouz quarterfinal here. As every good tournament should have.
I think we said like Mouz probably make the final here and probably win it.
Yeah. I think part of what we actually said was Mouz G2 as a final, but it didn't.
I think I said Mouz Astralis as a final.
I think both of us were pretty convinced about Mouz in the final, and I stand by that.
it's a lower pressure environment, and they're clearly like the only thing that stops them being the best team in the world is that they don't.
It's a group stage event.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Line two: Gamer Legion, Virtus Pro, Mongols, and Complexity. If I was to label one of these lines weak, it would probably be this one.
Yeah. That's probably fair.
I legitimately think the other lines are pretty strong.
I
don't think this is particularly insanely weak.
I'm very biased towards both VP and the Mongols, but it's probably fair.
VP beat Gamer Legion yesterday. obviously VP beat Gamer Legion, and then instantly Isaac was announced to be at NIP.
Yeah.
Which, sure.
Probably says a lot, yeah.
Yep. Virtus Pro play the Mongols about 45 minutes from now on record. So
I know it gets used a lot when people say, oh, it's going to be like a chess game. That one actually might be like a chess game.
Mongols VP.
It's going to take 10 minutes for anyone to make a move.
Excellent. I'm very excited to watch this game. Winner will go play Complexity for a spot in the semis. I honestly, I'd probably say Complexity through.
Complexity Mongols would be a super fun game.
I think Complexity versus either of these teams is an interesting game, and I don't think it will be a huge like slaughter, but I think it'll be.
It'll be a Complexity VP would be a perfect sending off for Overpass.
Mm-hmm.
Two actually good Overpass teams.
In the third line, we have BetBoom, FlyQuest, Liquid, and Astralis.
Yeah, FlyQuest. How annoyed must Greyhound be? They cut this team because they didn't make the major, and then like two events later, they signed for FlyQuest, and FlyQuest are like cooking at Pro League.
It's the jerseys.
Probably the salary.
Okay, that too. The Greyhound did have good jerseys at one point, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think like we said before, like Inns
is good,
pretty good. Yeah,
yeah,
and he's been frying at this event. This team's always had half decent players. They just seem to crumble in Europe.
Yeah. So for what it's worth, they're about to enter Map 3, Liquid right now against FlyQuest. FlyQuest just won the last map 16-14. So we go to map three. Obviously, you in the future know who won this. The winner plays Astralis. I think if it's FlyQuest Astralis, it should be an Astralis win. I think if it's Liquid Astralis,
it should be an Astralis win.
It should be an Astralis win, but I think it'll be a lot closer of an Astralis win.
Yeah, I think Astralis probably beat both quite convincingly.
I think Liquid are starting to remember that they're a good team, or they should be a good team.
Yeah, I just think they make too many mistakes. I think
that's probably true.
I think we're at most 3 months away from Yekinda being benched.
Yeah, he's not been playing particularly well. He played well in the first map today. But that's I don't. If we're having to drill down to, he's played one good map recently.
Yeah.
I don't know how much we're loving that.
Cadian, well, Heroic and presumably Cadian had like he had better players than Yekindar benched on Heroic.
Yeah. Like,
Borat was playing better than Yekindar was when he got benched. Who was the other player who got benched around the same time? I can't remember.
Refresh?
He was bad. There was somebody else. But anyway, they like Heroic quite ruthless with their benchings.
It was
I think Cadian will not stand for Yekindar being bad for very long.
Wasn't Stown. Wasn't Hunden.
No, they didn't. They tried their best not to give it up.
Nico.
Maybe it was Nico.
Nico
quite
and
well when they benched him.
Yeah, when Cadian joined the team, Snappy was still there too.
Maybe I'm getting confused. Because when they brought in Refresh and Shush together, they kicked.
It was for Borup Nico.
Was it Borup Nico? Because they were good at that point. Like they were already good, and they were like, "We need to be better. Like let's get rid of these two."
Yeah, it was Borup Nico.
I foresee Liquid probably doing the same thing. Like, no matter how well they're playing, they're like, we can win things if we get rid of Yekinda.
And then the last round two match that's happening, the last line, FaZe, Monty, Na'Vi, Vitality. This is probably the strongest of any of them.
Yeah,
this is on name the last alone. Three major winners.
Yeah.
So FaZe beat Monty in the opener. FaZe Na'Vi is today. Winner plays Vitality.
That's a game that's worth watching.
I would say I couldn't fucking tell you who wins this game. realistically any of the three, any of these games, right?
Yeah.
There's a legitimate reason for any of these four, three teams to go through.
Yeah, pretty much. There's not really much else to say. They're all three of them are very good teams and on their day can beat each other.
So judging by this bracket, the Mao's Astralis finals still very alive. If things go through as we expect, we'll have semifinal matches between Mao's, Complexity, Astralis, and pick your choice of the last three major winners.
Let's go Na'Vi.
So Astralis, Na'Vi could go either way. You'd probably lean a little Na'Vi, but for
I just kind of think Astralis is going to make the final. Like, I think
for content's sake,
real honeymoon period.
They're vibing. They're definitely vibing over there at Astralis.
And they're going to like Na'Vi are going to have to go through hell just to get to the semifinal. Astralis are going to coast there and be like, you know, save their arms.
Yeah, and then on the other side, Mao's versus Complexity. I would pick Mao's.
The thing is, even on stage, you'd still pick Mao's. Like, you just think Complexity are just kind of a worse version of Mao's. Whereas, like, you wouldn't trust them on stage, but they're pretty good in group stages. Whereas Mao's are pretty good on stage, except absolutely obliterate everyone in group stages. The best team in the world at these stages.
It's odd. It's one of those. I never understand how just teams suddenly. I get the idea of like, oh, teams are just gonna not play as well on stage as they do in a group stage. But some of it, I have questions about.
The big one for Miles is exertion. He's just not quite as good on stage as he is in group stages. I think it's quite common for aggressive players, actually, that on stage it's a lot harder to get away or like to pull off some of the aggressive moves, because I think teams are more dialed in or whatever your reason. People watch you more intently. I don't know exactly what it is. You have more time to prepare. But aggressive players do tend to be slightly worse on stage, and exertion is very aggressive and very, very dominant early on in events.
All right. I've done my quick scroll through Twitter at the end of the episode just to make sure nothing happened while we were doing this. I don't see anything else. Elliot, you got anything else?
Mongol stuff is now available in Europe to buy outside of Asia. So if you want a cool shirt, Mongol shirt is pretty wicked.
That's a good shout. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Logan Ramp-Up, at AZSK, and at Reed TLDR. Thank you to the one guy who messaged me about wanting to edit our podcast. I'm looking at podcast editors today. Also, if you were in the newsletter and you replied there, thank you as well.
So it's more than one guy.
Yeah, we have three people who have talked to us.
Let's get them all on. They could do one each.
The problem is you're vaguely aware of the long term ideas, and there's a non zero chance that we're gonna stop talking about this. We'll be back next week. We will have something to talk about. I don't know what we'll talk about. Dallas yet.
Dallas is coming up.
We'll figure it out. That'll be next week. Yeah, I think probably so. We'll see you all next week. Bye.